One of the things about being a part of this body of Christ, I've been here 23 years, by the way, as a teacher and as a pastor on staff. And that is one thing that, to me, the greatest testimony we have is a changed life. And so today I really want to share, I hope that it's a message of encouragement to you. I've had the opportunity to be able to travel to different places throughout the world and to see our missionaries that are sharing. And there's just a constant testimony from people that we come in contact with of the impact that this church has had in their lives. And that's all around the world. That's in our community and around the world. And I often wonder, way back when our church started and we were meeting in Anona Elementary School, I wonder if we understood the impact that this church would have on the community and around the world. And it's profound. It really is. In my personal life, it's funny because I remember telling God a few things. And one of them was, Lord, I am so afraid to speak in front of people, first of all. That's the thing. So I don't want to do that. And then the second thing was, singing in front of people was even worse. So, Lord, I don't want to sing in front of people. And I really came to a point, too, where I said, God, I love where I live. I love the beach. I have no desire to even see other parts of our country, let alone across the world. And those are all true statements. So my message to you today is don't say no to God. You just never know where you'll wind up. But today I really want to, my prayer for you guys is just that maybe you've been here a long time. Maybe you were one of the folks that were part of the first assembly over there of our church. And so maybe you're here today. And my prayer for you is there'd be a renewed passion for what God is doing in our church. And maybe if you're a young believer and you're just starting on this journey, I just want to encourage you to keep pressing on wherever you are. I'm excited about what God is doing in this church, and you're part of something special. So before I speak, I want to pray and just ask that God will be with us. Lord, thank you for this morning already. Thank you for so many people that have gotten up. Lord, part of our worship team and part of the folks in the back that are doing the sound and our welcome team. Lord, there's so much that goes on here, people volunteering and giving of their time, and we're so grateful. Father, I pray today that you would open up the ears and the hearts of people. And Father, speak through me. What a privilege to be able to share your word. And I just pray that you would use me today, Lord, to speak your truth. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. Well, over the past few weeks, we've been doing a study, God's at War. And it's really just a challenge. And I don't know about you guys, but in my life, God is, I always say it's like this, where God kind of peels away an onion. The closer you get to the Lord, he starts showing you things in your life. And if you've been a part of these last few weeks in our church, I'm sure that God has shown you in your own personal life things that you put above him. And so all of us could kind of say there's idols in our life, there's things. And as Pastor Jeff shared last Sunday about the prodigal son, he talked about the prodigal son who had gone wayward and he returned. And the phrase there was, arise and go to my father. He came to his senses. Pastor Jeff talked about how we turn from our idols, but it's not just that, it's what do we turn towards? And so as God has maybe placed a burden on your heart these last few weeks, what we're going to really be unpacking, what Pastor Jeff's going to be unpacking is what do you do with that? What do you turn towards? And so that's what we'll be doing the next few weeks. You know, the holiday season is right around the corner. Do you guys realize that? I know it is because I have a neighbor that anytime it dips below 85, I smell a fire going. So he's building a fire. I don't know where he is, but I know that it's holiday season. And it's coming up on us. And it's really a time period where it's interesting. God gives us opportunities to be able to share the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. People are more receptive to it. They'll at least kind of listen to a little bit of what we're saying. And so we're coming into a time period where you guys have an incredible opportunity to be able to share. And the truth is, we know about the need in our community. Pastor Charlie used to share all the time that there were 700,000 unchurched people in Pinellas County. And really, since that time, it's closer to a million unreached people that are not attending church on a regular basis in our county. And the truth is that if Indian Rocks planted 400 churches this size within our Pinellas County community, it still wouldn't be enough to reach the people who are not in church. And I know that many of you know that our county and that in our state, we lead so many areas, or at least we're up in the top, whether it be human trafficking, abortion, drug and alcohol abuse, violence, homelessness. You know, the list just keeps going on and on and on and on. And it's right here within our community. And I know right now there's people in here that's like, all right, here's the missions guy. He's going to tell us how bad it is. And I know I need to do something. I'm a believer in Christ. I know I need to talk to my neighbor. Can I make a confession right now? Is that okay? It'll stay right here. Miss Martha, don't tell Pastor Jeff, okay? You know that there's some times as your mission pastor where I don't feel like sharing the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Sometimes we get so busy with our lives, and maybe you've done this where God has put somebody on your heart. You're in a place and you say, all right, God, I really can't because I got to get to this next meeting, or I'm having lunch, or I'm just really tired. I don't feel like it. You maybe say, okay, if he comes over here, I'll say something to him. And he makes his way over and you say, well, all right, if he starts talking to me, maybe I'll say something to him. And the list can go on. But the truth is that everyone in here, we have moments in our lives where it's so difficult to respond to the need, isn't it? Anybody been there before? Just me and a few others. We can talk to the ones who didn't raise their hand to learn your secret. But it can be difficult. And here's the thing. I want to just kind of tell you that you can take a breath here, let it out. And just know that we're in this together, that all of us have this struggle. And so today, I'm not speaking to you to guilt you into doing something, because as Pastor Jeff says, if I can talk you into it, somebody can easily talk you out of it. But I want to show you within God's word that there is a response to this need that we have in our community. And Jesus shows us that example in some other people's throughout Scripture. So here's the first thing. Jesus was never need driven. Do you realize that? I mean, we talk about so many things within our culture today and the needs. But truly, as Jesus was walking on this earth, as you read Scripture, you see that thousands and thousands came to him. He was healing the sick. He was teaching. And there was something about Jesus that drew people to him. And there was a tremendous need. But we also see times where Jesus, he would go out into the mountains to pray. Right. Or he'd get onto a ship and he'd say, tell his disciples, let's kind of get out in the middle here. But regardless, wherever Jesus was, people followed him. But you know what? He was never need driven. If you have your Bible, turn to John 5. Turn to John 5. Because I think one of the problems of responding to the community, responding to the need, is just the truth that for some of us, it just seems so overwhelming. And I know for me, as you look at the news and you read about those statistics and you say, well, DJ, if we planted 400 churches and we still can't reach our community, I mean, what impact am I going to have? What can I do to really make a difference for the kingdom? And here's what I want you to focus on in John 5, starting with verse 19. It says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself. That's the first thing that I want you to see, that Jesus, who was God in coming down into earth, into flesh, said, apart from the Father, I can do nothing. And so very clearly, Jesus states that nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these things also doeth the Son likewise. And so we see that there's a relationship between Jesus and his Father, that it was a response of that relationship that they have. It says, for the Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. You know, the Father loved the Son. There was a relationship there. And it says, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. So today, as we start kind of unpacking this, reaching our community, the best thing that I could tell you is that when we reach our community, it's truly not a response to the need. The need's always going to be there. In fact, Jesus said that the poor will always be with you. And if you read Scripture, you know that in the end, we've read the end of the book, right? And we know how it gets. This is just a beginning of some of the difficulties and trials that we see. And so as a church, we don't want to respond based upon need. But as you see, Jesus Christ, the relationship that he had with his Father, it was a natural union that they had together. And his service, his serving his community, his serving of the poor, healing the sick, was just a natural overflow response of his love with the Father. And so my challenge to us as a church is, first of all, let's move from being need driven to Holy Spirit directed. Man, there's so much power when we lean into the Holy Spirit and allow Jesus to do that work through us. It's unexplainable. It truly is. We can do some works as human beings and it'll have a little bit of effect. It might seem nice, but when the Holy Spirit is involved, it's hard to explain. And when I look at this church, as you guys look around and you see this place, and it just seems that the hand of God is upon this place. I've shared that in our thrift store, as the economy got worse, the thrift store did better. And the thrift store is what we use to help support mission work in our community and around the world. And again, as you look around, as churches are kind of fading and losing their power, I look at our church and I say, God is continuing to grow in this place. And the only way I can explain it is the Holy Spirit. We have some awesome pastors here. These are good guys. I've enjoyed spending time with them. But we'd be the first to tell you that if it were up to us, we'd be in trouble. It's the Holy Spirit that's done a work in this place. But here's the second thing. Here's the second thing, and it's so true, that there is a battle that all of us have with our flesh. You know, whether you are have been a believer for a long time, or maybe you are just starting on this journey, we still have the flesh within us. And one of my favorite characters throughout Scripture is the Apostle Paul. Being a missions guy, Paul was one of the first missionaries and one of the greatest to walk the face of the earth here. He was part of some of the early church movements, saw thousands come to Christ, traveled throughout the world sharing this truth that Jesus Christ would leave his Holy Spirit to reside in us. And we see that he had a passion that was relentless to share the gospel message of Christ. In fact, it says in Scripture that he was shipwrecked. And he was beaten. He was in prison. They threw stones at him. He was left for dead. And there's a story that the disciples kind of revived him, kind of dragged him back into the city. And he continued to preach the gospel. I mean, this guy was hardcore for the gospel message. But Paul makes a confession. Look in Romans 7. Romans 7. And it's verses like these that give me some hope in my life. Romans 7, and in fact, we just sung a song about it. Starting with verse 18, it says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing." Here is Paul. You read that and you say, well, wait a minute, Paul. I mean, you are relentless for the gospel. You would go anywhere. You would suffer persecution. You've been shipwrecked. I mean, sometimes people would ask, you're in prison, and was God with you there? And Paul says, folks, understand, there's nothing good that dwells in my flesh. No good thing, for to will is present with me. But look at this, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. There's a wrestle, and I love when I'm reading Paul's letters. It's this constant communication to the church saying, the things I want to do, that I really want to do, I don't do. And the things that I don't want to do, I do. Have you guys ever been in that situation before? And it's a constant battle. And I really thought, man, by the time I'm this age, when I was younger, I was thinking, I'll have this all together. And sin won't be as attractive to me. And you know, I'll just work it all out. And the more I talk to some of our senior adults, they say, hey, the struggle is still there. It's still real. Until the day we die, we have the flesh within us. And skip down to verse 22 there. It says, "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man." See, there's something within us as believers. If you're a follower of Jesus Christ, we know at our core, there's something within us that just can't be content with just showing up to church. I know it's true. If you've experienced the goodness of God, there's something down deep that won't let you go. And it's a constant kind of tension that we have in our hearts of doing something, giving back to the Lord. So he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Look at this in verse 23. But I see another law in my members warring against the law of my mind. There is a battle going on inside of you. Do you realize that? Probably a lot of battles. And we know that according to Scripture, that there's nothing new. This is not a new struggle that's happening. The Apostle Paul said, there's something in me that wars against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of what? To the law of sin. And so all of us have this battle. Paul had this battle. And skip down to verse 24 there. O wretched man that I am. We just sang Amazing Grace, right, in that verse. And that saved a wretch like me. Any wretches in here want to raise their hand? Okay, yes, all of us around the room. Paul says, man, after everything that he did, after everything he suffered for the gospel. And yet he says, what a wretched man am I. And I love this next part of the verse. He doesn't say what will save me. How much can I do to get me out of this predicament? You know, Paul had learned that he knew within him there was nothing good within his flesh. It was only that part that has to do with Jesus Christ. And he says, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? And let me tell you this, as I'm talking about flesh and spirit, I need to make sure that you're clear on this, that as a follower in Christ, that it says in Scripture, in Ephesians 1:13, that our security, we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ, and that there's a sealing that happens. And so the part within us, that spirit man, is eternally secure. I'm so grateful for that I can't lose that salvation that God has given me. But there is a battle in my flesh that wars against wanting to share Christ. And it's a true battle that happens. But here's the neat thing about God. There's so many neat things about God, right? But he's reconciling the world to himself. If you watch the news, and I typically try not to watch the news before I travel somewhere, because it always happens that the day before I'm supposed to go there, something bad happens. So I've just kind of found that when I travel, I don't watch the news. But the truth is as you look around our community and you look around the world, you see that this is a world that's desperate. The Scripture talks about that it groans, it groaneth. And we see it, don't we? We look around the world and we see that it ain't getting any better. But yet we have a God who's part of this ministry of reconciliation. You know what is awesome about that? Not only is he reconciling the world to himself, but he's given to us the opportunity to be ministers of reconciliation. We get to be a part of this. And in Scripture, it calls us ambassadors. Turn to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5. The Apostle Paul says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. You know, as believers in Christ, what an awesome responsibility that he's given. He could have done it any other way, but God decided that he was going to use us to be a part of getting his gospel message out. So we're ambassadors for Christ, and we pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. Be you reconciled for God. For he hath made him to be sin for us. Look at that part here. Here's why we can be ambassadors for Christ. He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Can I tell you that being an ambassador for Christ has nothing to do with the things that we do? Do you understand that? That there's if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, what's given you permission to be able to go and share the gospel is nothing that you've done in yourself. It's simply that Jesus Christ paid a penalty for our sin, and because of that, he made us righteous. And so we get to be ambassadors on his behalf. You know, we know the Scripture in 1 Peter 3 where Peter is challenging the church, and he says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And I look at that verse and it doesn't say, hey, Springman, listen, be ready to give an answer for the hope that you have in Jesus Christ when there's not college football on TV. Or it doesn't say, hey, until you feel totally healthy and you don't have a stomach ache, that you can share Christ then. Or you know what, I don't really have time. I'm going to this meeting. Okay, that's okay. Whenever you get that all taken care of, then be ready to share that hope. What does it say? It says always. Be ready always to give an answer. And here's the truth. I think even as believers in Christ that we are looking for something to come through. Aren't we? I see it. We know Jesus. We know God who spoke the world into existence. We know that. We know that we have the faith of Christ within us. We know that stuff. But in the end, I think we're still looking for something or something else to save us. Our country, our nation, our world, we know it's in trouble. And yet, can I tell you this? There's not a politician that's going to save us. I don't care who's in the White House. There's not a politician that's going to save us. There's no military or police force. There's not a law. There's no amount of money. There's no world leader that can save us from this mess. And that's the truth. We're in a battle. And the only hope is Jesus Christ. I'm actually, you know, I always say this when I speak, I'm speaking to myself. I'm glad you guys showed up today. I'm thankful for that. But I always speak on what God is really dealing with me in my heart. And I have this quote in my office, and it's by a present day theologian here. And he spoke kind of to me, just a great way of sharing the wrestle that we have within us as believers. He says, I'm wired by nature to love the same toys that the world loves. I start to fit in. I start to love what others love. I start to call earth home. Before you know it, I'm calling luxuries, needs, and using my money just the way unbelievers do. I begin to forget the war. I don't think much about people perishing. Missions and unreached people drop out of my mind. I start dreaming about the triumphs of grace. I sink into a secular mindset that looks first to what man can do, not what God can do. It's a terrible sickness. And I thank God for those who have forced me again and again toward a wartime mindset. I tell you, that's true. Today is not anything about trying to guilt you into serving our community. The truth is we need you. We need you as a body of Christ, as pastors. It's so encouraging to me to come in and to look and say, there's other people that are serving with us. That this community, which needs the hope of Jesus Christ, we have each other. And I tell you what you do is you remind me daily that you're right. We're in a war. We're in a battle for our community. And we are the hope through Jesus Christ. We need each other. You know, maybe today you're saying, well, okay, that sounds good. That sounds great for you. But the truth is, and then you fill it with some excuse. You know, maybe you feel like the young boy in Scripture that had five loaves and two small fish. Remember that story? Here's a young guy what's happening is there's thousands coming to see Jesus. And it mentions in Scripture that there are 5,000 men, so we know that there's children, that there's women. And so it is a huge crowd that is, they've come to see Jesus. And there's a problem. There's no food. And so he tells the disciples, kind of go look and see what we can gather up. And they come back and they've got this little kid and he's got five loaves and two small fish. Now, I think it's important in Scripture that it's noted that it's small fish. My son is the fisherman in our family, and I think that's about all he does is fish. But if you're in this area, Tampa Bay area, you know a fish called a snook. Anybody know what a snook is? They can get pretty big. The ones I catch are about that big. The ones he catches, about 36, 41 inches. These fish are huge. But in Scripture here, it wasn't a snook that this young boy came up. It was two small fish. And I think purposely what God wants to do, and we see it all throughout Scripture, He doesn't use the best equipped to do His work. I mean, if you would have thought of, and in fact, His disciples say, well, here's this little dude that has two loaves or five loaves and two fish. But what can we do with that? You know, the truth is, in His own power, He could do nothing. Five loaves, two fish, couldn't feed 5,000. But what happens? All throughout Scripture, we see this, but God, this moment where God shows up and God does a miracle. And not only did they feed the 5,000 and the women and the children, but they had baskets left over. And so maybe today you say, I don't have much. I don't have much to give. I don't think that, my impact in this community, that I could do much. And you're probably exactly where you need to be. Because I find that when we have that spirit of God, I don't know. I don't know what I can give to make a difference. I think that's when God shows up in your life. And He does things that you could never comprehend. Or maybe you feel like Paul. We just have been talking about Paul today. One of the greatest missionaries to walk the face of the earth. Was able to write the majority through the power of the Holy Spirit, the majority of the New Testament. And you look at Paul, and as he shared, he said, listen, I'm not really an eloquent speaker. In fact, my speech is kind of rude. And I just wonder, I think sometimes we think about these people throughout Scripture. And I guarantee if Paul were speaking to a group, there probably wouldn't be anything that we would say, that guy is a great speaker. In fact, most of the time, we might not even listen to him. Maybe he kind of stammered with his words or didn't have a 3-point part to his sermon. I don't know, but he spoke truth through Jesus Christ. And God did such a work in his life because he just laid it at the feet of Jesus. He understood who he was. And maybe for you, you feel like the woman at the well. You know, here's a lady that Jesus went to, and this lady had five husbands, and Jesus said to her, I know who you are. In fact, the person that you're with now, he's not your husband. And he told her everything about her, and he told her to turn from her sin, to sin no more. And the rest of that story, she goes back into her city. This is a lady that just met Jesus, really didn't know much, hadn't been trained on how to evangelize, how to speak. But all she did was she went back to her town. And it says that many believed in Jesus Christ just because of her testimony. And then the neat thing is, as she shared to those men and women, it says that then they went and they shared. They found out who Jesus was and they shared. And we know that God did an amazing work just through this woman at the well. And you might say today that, okay, that sounds great for you guys, but you just don't know what's happened in my life. You don't know the baggage that I have in my life. One thing I've found, and it's an interesting thing, I think sometimes we put pastors up on a pedestal. But what I found a lot of times is some of the ones that are the most effective for the kingdom are the ones that have a lot of baggage in their life. They've been there. They understand where their life was without Christ. And for those of you that have experienced that, and you've experienced the world and you've said, man, there's nothing I want of the world. You're the type that Jesus uses. God uses in a profound, powerful way. And I can tell you this, that throughout Scripture, those are the people that Jesus uses. Or maybe today, if you're a senior adult here in our service, maybe you're at a stage of life where you're saying, you know what, I've done my time. I've served, and it's been, ministry has been difficult. It's been hard. And I'm at a point in my life now where I'm just ready to retire. I'm ready to sit on Indian Rocks Beach and just spend the rest of my days watching the sunset. And can I tell you that there's such a need for our senior adults in this church to help this next generation I see it. I kid Pastor Jim. I don't know if you guys know Pastor Jim Black, but his office is right across the hall from me. And it's funny because there's kind of a stream of young people that come in to his office, and I can hear him kind of speaking to them. And just throughout the day, he's speaking truth to them about the Word of God and giving them advice about how to live this life. And if you're a young person in this room, and especially if you're my age, here's what happens is when you are a young person, teenager, you're kind of action driven. I mean, I remember being at a place in my life where the world was an adventure, you know, mission trips. Let's go save the world. It didn't matter what happened. Let's just go. Let's load up a bus. Let's fly over. I don't know where we're staying, but it's going to be fun. You know, and then as you get a little bit older and you come into a time period of your life of your 30s and 40s, you're just very productive. You're about trying to kind of move up that ladder. And you're in the now I'm in this stage right now, usually in your mid 40s, where you have these kind of crises of life, right? The truth of life starts setting in, and Pastor Jeff always says it begins with marriage and then God gives you kids to finish you off. And I think that's true. You know, but you come to a part in your life where you really have challenges. Life doesn't necessarily turn out the way you thought it was going to. Anybody experience that? And what starts happening in your life is God just keeps, I'm telling you, in my life, God just keeps messing with me in a good way. There's so many times I just want to say, Lord, I want to just go to the mountains and be in a cabin there and fish and just spend my life, grow my beard. Life would be great. And yet God just keeps wrestling with me. Wrestling with my heart. And I say there's such a need for people in our church like Caleb in Scripture. One of my favorite characters, Caleb and Joshua, if you don't know the story. God promised the Israelites this land. In fact, he said, hey, that's why they called it the promised land. He said, I'm going to give you this place, but go and spy it out. I don't know why God did that. I think maybe just to test their faith, because he said, it's yours already. Just go spy it out, see what it's like. And we see these two, Caleb and Joshua, and they go and they see it and they're like, man, everything that God told us about this place is true. And yet the rest of these spies, these 10 spies came back and they said, it's too big. I mean, there's giants there. There's no way that we can go in and defeat this group. And yet Caleb and Joshua said, we can do this. If you guys know the rest of the story, the Israelites wandered around 40 years. And you get to a little bit later in Scripture there, and we see that the Israelites go in, and here's Caleb. Caleb is in his 80s, but he's finally in the promised land, and he said, you know what? I'm as strong, and my mind is as strong as when 40 years ago, and there's still giants in the land, and I'm ready to take them. And he did. He wasn't afraid. Caleb, as an older man, said, I still have that passion. I still have that desire to serve the Lord. And we need older folks like that. Because as I shared before, and when you're in your 40s and starting to get into your 50s, you have those moments in life where God just things happen in our lives. And what happens is we become a little bit more receptive to the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if this is true, but then they say as you kind of go through that process that when you are in your 70s and 80s, that you then begin to experience some of that joy of being a follower of Jesus Christ. I don't know, but I've seen it in people, haven't you? Some of our senior adults that have walked faithfully with the Lord. And it's not a life that was free of trouble, but they're kind of on that other side. And they're to a point in their life where Jesus Christ is everything. Man, those people, we need you. We need you to speak truth into our lives. We need you to let us know that God is faithful. Even through the difficult times, God is faithful. And so maybe you feel like a Caleb, or I hope you feel like a Caleb that still has that fire within you to be a part of what's happening here at our church. Turn to 2 Corinthians 6, and this is where I'll end today. 2 Corinthians 6 is just a continuation of all those passages where Paul was talking about that we are ministers of reconciliation. God is reconciling the world to himself. And I tell you, that is one of the neatest things to see in countries like Iran, where there's this intense persecution that's happening. And yet it's one of the fastest growing places for the body of Christ, the underground church. And God continues to do that. Some of the most difficult places, we see the body of Christ moving in some of the most powerful ways. But he's reconciling the world to himself. I shared this story last night that something that I love. There's so many things I love about God, but here's one of them. We have a missionary in Papua New Guinea, Lisa Kapler. Many of you know her. We had some people over here that took a trip and visited her. And she is reaching a people group, the UDI people in Papua New Guinea. And there's about 100 of them. And we sent her out from our church. And she's the only one in the world now that knows the UDI language that's working on the Bible translation. And so she's been able to, with a team that was there previously, they've been able to put together a lot of New Testament scripture. And in particular, they were able to put in enough to where they were to share the gospel with the UDI people. And today, there are believers in the UDI tribe, and the church is starting to grow. Now, here's the thing about that story. If I were to send you a postcard of the UDI people, it wouldn't make a nice Christmas postcard. You know, the little family postcards that everyone's at the beach and they're wearing the white shirt and the family looks incredibly happy and life is bliss, right? This wouldn't make a nice Christmas card because the UDI people, they chew this nut. It's called a beech nut. It makes their teeth red and it really looks like blood. And our team that was there, when they got on the ground, they said it was the smell of the people. It was just overwhelming. And these are people that have traveled all throughout the world. And they were talking about the kids that they saw on the kids' faces. It looked like tribal markings. And as they were talking to Lisa, they said, those are interesting. The kids have these tribal markings in their face. And Lisa said, those aren't tribal markings. Those are worms. And as they were beginning to work with the kids, they had pink eye. And I mean, I can just go on. And here's the awesome thing, though. God loved them so much. He's reconciling the world to himself that he put on the heart of Lisa Kapler to go and to share the gospel. And today, some of those people are the most blessed people in the world because they have Jesus Christ. And so God is reconciling the world to himself, and we're ambassadors for him. But look at how this verse ends, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 1. It says, "We then as workers together with him." Here's what I want you to see. As you go out today, as you go out into our community, what God has promised us is that it's not going to be easy. To be an ambassador for Christ, it's not easy, but here's the truth, that he's going to walk with us. He's always going to be faithful. Even in our times where we say, where is God in all of this? Scripture says that as workers together with him, and so we walk with him together. Beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. Paul talks about that a lot throughout scriptures. He's talking to the church. He said, listen, I have shared Christ with you. I've discipled you. I've raised you up. I've sent you out. And here's the truth. I don't want that to be spent in vain. As I mentioned before, I don't want you to get into your mind ever that, you know, that works will save you. We know that it's grace through faith alone. I'm so thankful for that. That the Lord, there's nothing that can take me out of his hand. But here's the truth. I think there's a possibility to live a Christian life in vain. You know, we have this truth within us. And yet the question is, how much do we share it? How much do we share it with others? And so my challenge to you today is don't miss out on the opportunity to share. You're in a specific community that only you guys can reach. Whether it be your neighbors or if you're a student at school, wherever God has placed you, he's put you specifically to be able to share. And Pastor Jeff is going to be talking about that in the next few weeks. And we are going to challenge you in kind of I'm not going to tell you what it is, okay? But we've been praying about this as a team and as a missions team. And we're going to challenge you as a church to do something that's kind of out of the box and unconventional. And I'm really excited about it, but I think it's for some, it may be even a little uncomfortable, but we're going to do it together. I'm not going to let you know what it is, but just know that you'll be hearing more about it. But as we get ready for this season, here's what I want you to do. I want you to draw close to the Lord. Draw close to Him, because if we truly are going to make an impact in our community, and we've got these months especially when people are receptive to it, what we need to do is get prepared. So draw close to Him. Throughout Scripture, it talks about to pray. Be in prayer. Lord, how can you use me? Whatever gifts I have, I don't know. Just I'll be obedient. Give me an opportunity to share the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Scripture talks about fasting. For some, maybe that's food. Maybe that's just taking a little bit of time away from TV. Whatever it may be, whatever God's laid on your heart, to pray and fast for the people in our community. Be in His Word. There's nothing better that you can do than to spend time in God's Word. It says throughout Scripture that God's Word is quick. It's alive. It's powerful. And what it does is it kind of divides and it shows us things about ourselves, but it gives us power. Be in His Word. And then be in fellowship with other believers. It's a great place to come together. And we know that when we reach this community, we're doing it together. Be in fellowship with each other. Here's the truth. You guys are plan A. You get that? You guys are plan. We don't have a plan B. There is no other option for this community. Plan A is we are equipping our believers here to go out to our community. And that's just the simple thing, that if our community has any hope at all, it's resting upon believers here within Pinellas County. And you're part of that. But here's the truth. It needs to come as an overflow of our relationship with Jesus Christ. It'll happen. The closer you draw to Christ, you can't keep it in. You just got to share it. You got to get it off your chest. It'll be scary sometimes. It'll be difficult. In fact, you're going to have to maybe come to a place where you say, Lord, okay, this may sound foolish, but I got to share with this person the hope that I have. And I know God will bring those opportunities. JJ, go ahead and come on up. I'm going to be in the back, actually in the guest reception. If this is your first time, maybe you're saying, what are these crazy people talking about? But maybe you're at a place in your life where you say, you know what, to be honest, I don't really have hope. I don't have this hope that you're talking about. My world is falling apart, or maybe everything is great for you, but just something is missing. If you don't know about Jesus Christ and how He can change and transform your lives, we've got a couple pastors up here today that will be able to talk with you. If this is your first time at the church, Pastor Jeff will be back next week. But I'll be in the guest reception. Love to meet you guys. Praying for God to do a work within our community. And so glad you guys are a part of it. Amen.